Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Stephen St. John and Nate Picchetti with Jake Gutierrez. Later on today, we'll talk to Jamie Bluma, former Royals reliever. Ask him if he could join the Royals bullpen and help them out. He'll be in studio with us in the 7 o'clock hour. Then former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also talk to Damon Bethea about college basketball. We've had him on throughout March Madness. And we'll also encourage you to go vote. How about that? Whether it's yes or whether it's no or whether it's maybe. Go vote. Exercise your right to vote today. And just thank all of the mailers and emails and press releases and press conferences and special appearances. We'll be, I was going to say they'll be over tomorrow. Maybe not. They'll be, it might just be starting all over again, depending on what happens. But we'll see. But the big vote is today, so I'm sure we'll touch on that as well. But you heard plenty of highlights there from last night's awesome doubleheader in the women's NCAA tournament. So we've got that to talk about. The Royals bullpen, not good again, and gave up the game and took the loss in Baltimore last night. And so early on, the team is developing an identity of good starting pitching. The hitting has come around just a little bit, but the bullpen has been, outside of that 11-0 victory over the weekend, has been pretty bad. And they've had the opportunity to either keep the game tied or hold a lead, and they have failed. They have failed repeatedly. And so early on, team's identity, the bullpen, needs work. And that's not a good identity to have at all. So we'll get to that also. Hey, and then last week or so, I remember we were talking about different items on the shopping list for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we talked about, hey, who's going to be the backup quarterback for this football team? And I mentioned Carson Wentz. And so, yeah, Jay, come on in here if you want. Pat me on the back. Carson Wentz is the new Chiefs backup quarterback. So there you go. That happened last night. And some people were resisting the idea because they thought it might be April Fool's. But based on who was available, if they weren't going to go right back to Blaine Gabbert, then I thought he was the guy that made the most sense. He's definitely somebody that needs his career rebuilt, right? Just think what his reputation is now versus what it was. The Chiefs don't have a guy that has any experience right now on the roster. That's a guy whose, I think, skill set Andy Reid can work with and hopefully get the most out of him. Hopefully we never see him play unless it's stepping in a blowout victory to clean things up. But who knows, man? It's the NFL. Players get hurt, and maybe he does have to come in and play. But I like the idea. I don't think that's a bad I don't think it's a bad signing at all. And I think there's every opportunity that the Chiefs could get a hold of him and turn him into a reasonably good backup quarterback. And so Carson Wentz, former MVP candidate, former number two overall pick, signs with the Kansas City Chiefs. I like it a lot. I don't have any problem with the Chiefs bringing him in and taking a chance on trying to rebuild him into something useful. It's a one-year deal, so no big deal. No risk there. He signed with the Rams as their backup quarterback in Week 10 after spending the first half of the season without a team. He was in Washington in 2022. 31 years old, you know. Seems like he should be older. He started the Rams' regular season finale against the 49ers because the Rams were resting Stafford. He was 17 of 24 for 163 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. He also had somehow 56 yards rushing and a touchdown on 17 carries. Former number two pick in the 2016 draft. How about that? And then you remember he was traded to the Indianapolis Colts after the 2020 season, after losing his starting job to Jalen Hurts. He actually threw 27 touchdown passes and had a career low in interceptions with 7 with the Colts. But he struggled in the final two games when he only needed to win one of them to make the playoffs. And so then Washington ended up trading for Wentz. He's been traded around a lot, man. In the after the 2021 season, played 8 games with the Commanders, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, missed game with a broken finger, and then got benched. So there you have it. Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report reported that first. Any issues with Carson Wentz as the backup quarterback in Kansas City?
No issues with it. It doesn't, like, excite me, I guess, because it just doesn't seem like things have gone very well for him for quite some time. But, I mean, like you said, where are you going to get a better backup with experience? If you need him to come in and win a game, usually that's what you need for Mahomes, right? There's the chance that you might need him for one game or maybe half a game somewhere, and Andy Reid has shown the strong preference to have a veteran that he can count on in those situations, and that's what you got with Wentz. So I'm good. Sounds good to me.
They could win with him.
Yeah.
You'll see a much better version of Carson Wentz if he ends up playing for Kansas City at all. Jake?
Yeah, I think it's a very solid move for the Chiefs. I mean, there's a question mark. They answered that question. I like Carson Wentz. I mean, I think he's a guy who can start and has started in this league, and that's the kind of guy you want as your backup. I mean, the hope is that we don't have to see him until, you know, week 17 or 18 when the Chiefs have the one seed locked up and they're resting Mahomes and they go put him out there on display and let him wrap the season up for the Chiefs. That's the hope. You know, Pat's been relatively healthy over the last couple of years and he hasn't had to miss a start because of injury, since 2019, since the knee. And he left the Jacksonville game, obviously, and you know, God, what's his name, came in and scored a touchdown with Kelsey, the backup.
Henny,
yes, thank you. Ugh. But
you know the struggle bus today, buddy?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's all right.
A little bit.
I got you.
Thanks. I think it's a good move. I like it.
There you go. And so last night, you know, we talked quite a bit yesterday about the doubleheader that was going to be on in the Elite Eight for the women's tournament. 6 o'clock, it was LSU in Iowa, and then USC and UConn was the night gap. And let me tell you, very rarely does a game live up to the hype or a performance live up to the hype. The game wasn't as dramatic as it could have been because Iowa pulled away from LSU in the third quarter. It was terrific in the first half. That was as good of a game as you would want it to be in the first half when it was 45-45. Tied at 45 going into the third quarter, and then Iowa pulled away and outscored LSU 24-13 in the third quarter, and that was it. And LSU seemed like a couple of times they were going to make a run, but Iowa always had an answer, and the answer was Caitlin Clark, okay? There was a stretch in the first half, and I usually don't tweet that much during games because, again, I don't know. I like to watch games, and I get lost tweeting, and then I'll miss something, and then it just I got to rewind and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just not a fan of too many tweets. But I was having fun tweeting and interacting during this game. There was a stretch in the first half where Angel Reese was the best player on the floor. She was dominating the game because LSU came out, and they wanted to trade shots with Iowa, and Iowa was hot. And Iowa jumped out, I think it was like to a 17-9 lead. And then Kim Mulkey was furious, called a timeout. And out of the time, and her and Angel Reese was pretty animated in the huddle. And you could tell what they were trying to tell the rest of the team. Need to stop settling for threes, outside shots. We have an advantage down low. We have an advantage in the post. We need to use it. With Reese and Morrow. And then they did. And then Angel Reese took the game over with her rebounding. Her offensive rebounding was terrific. They started to get some easy looks. The defense was turned up a notch. And then they started to build a lead against Iowa. And you're thinking, oh, boy, is this going to be like it was last year? Is LSU going to do this to Iowa again? But Iowa kept it close, kept fighting. Caitlin Clark kept hitting shots. And then it was tied at halftime. And I felt like both teams started to run out of gas before halftime. The pace was so frenetic. The pace was unbelievable. And there was a time in the second half, too, where both teams ran out of gas and started to miss some shots. But as you heard there in the intro, Caitlin Clark came out and hit four threes in the third quarter that allowed Iowa to pull away from LSU. And, I mean, listen to these numbers from the two players that were talked about the most going into the game. First, Angel Reese in a losing effort. 17 points, 20 rebounds, including 10 offensive rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Only 2 turnovers. She fouled out. Something else I thought that she was a different player before she tweaked her ankle and after she tweaked the ankle. Her and Caitlin Clark kind of collided, and she went into the press area. Angel Reese did, and then she got up, and she was limping pretty noticeably, and she had to come out of the game. And then I just tweeted out, I said, damn, she was dominating the game. Now this changes everything. But then you saw her go over to the bike and try to loosen up, and they put her back in the game. And she was still limping a little bit. She was still really good, though. But you tell there's a little bit of a limp. And then they said that she got retaped at halftime and changed into a different pair of shoes. But she wasn't the same. She wasn't the same player. And so I'm not telling you the LSU would have won. I mean, because she still put up phenomenal numbers, but she was not the same player after she tweaked her ankle. If you were watching the game, that was obvious. And you needed to have her at 100% to beat that version of Iowa and that version of Caitlin Clark last night. So then you wonder, okay, so what did Caitlin Clark do? Well, 40 minutes. That's a given. 41 points. 12 assists, 7 rebounds, a couple of steals, and a block. She was 13 of 29 from the floor, 9 of 20 from three-point land, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. She dropped 41 on him, and 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. You talk about all the pressure and all the hype in the world, and all the people that are going to be watching that game, and then you're playing the defending national champions who broke your heart last year in the national championship game, and you're playing them in the Elite Eight to go back to the national to go back to the Final Four. And it's like, how could it's got to be so hard to live up to the expectations, but then surpass them, and be better than anyone could have anticipated. Here's a couple of tweets about what she did. There have been 2 instances in NCAA tournament history of a player having 40 points and 10 assists in a game. Caitlin Clark last night and Caitlin Clark in last year's Elite Eight versus Louisville. Right, you laugh. You laugh.
It's amazing.
Caitlin Clark created, assisted, or scored 73 points in that game last night. Think about that. Created, assisted, or scored 73 points. And she also led her team in rebounding. She did everything. And this is from OptiStats. 41 points, 12 assists. So these are the benchmarks here. And I know this is kind of cherry-picking stats, but still, it's fun. I like it. 41 points, 12 assists, 9 threes, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. no other NBA, WNBA, or Division I men's or women's player in the last 25 years has reached all of those numbers in any single game. I mean, what? I don't know. And you watch her, some of the shots she takes, like she's not going to take it out. She made it. And I had some fun. I don't know. I feel like I kind of talked something into existence. I did talk a lot about Haley Van Lith yesterday, HVL Jake, because she was the number one target in the transfer portal. And she played for Louisville, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I remember when everyone when LSU got her, like, oh boy, natural chance to get Van Lith, number one target in the transfer portal, the rich get richer. She, I hate to say this, but she killed them last night. She was 2-10 from the floor, 1-6 from three. And there was a point where I even tweeted out, they can't leave HVL on Caitlin Clark. They can't. They have to do something else. They can't leave her. And look, maybe there's no right answer, right? But there was better answers last night. And that's something that there are many people were reveling in, the fact not only that Kim Mulkey lost, that by all accounts she had a bad game coaching. Like, the adjustments were not made, and she kept doing, and like this, the Haley Van Lith thing on Caitlin Clark, she, right off the bat, early in the game, she got benched for a good portion of the game, because Mulkey was pissed off, and then put her back in, and then started to get worked again. I'm thinking, yeah, they can't leave her on Caitlin Clark. Can't do it. And they did, and then it turned into a meme. You know it's bad when you turn into a meme.
Oh, yeah.
The meme, right after Caitlin Clark hits this long three, and then you see one of the best players in college basketball, Haley Van Lith, just walk away like this. Like I don't.
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. Like, just, and if you can't see me on the streaming, just doing the Jordan shrug, kind of. But, you know, not because she hit a big three, because she just gave up another one. And just shrugging her shoulders like, why, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. I can't do anything.
Hey, what happened?
She shoots from everywhere. Think about that, though. We've all played basketball at some level. How helpless would that be to try to guard her? Because she has apparently eyes in the back of her head. Some of the passes she makes, some of the passes the length of the court, some of the passes she made, that's what doesn't get talked about enough. That's why she had 12 assists. Some of her passes were just beautiful. And she sees things. She sees teammates before anyone else does. And she anticipates so well. And so you have to think about that. And then wherever you start to guard a girl normally, or a player normally, reasonably, for you know, that, well, so, you know, she might take an open look here. Well, none of that matters against Caitlin Clark, because she'll take it from anywhere. Who knows? And might make it. You know? And then
almost half of them.
And then you get too close, and then maybe she just drive by you. I mean,
yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had to shrug your shoulders. HVL. Boy, she got. There was a lot of memes, a lot of social media. That was the theme last night. But and then notable records broken last night by Caitlin Clark. Broke the record for career Division I three-pointers made, career tournament three-pointers made, career tournament assists. So just add those to the list of records she broke last night. And then gets back to the Final Four. So I don't know what to tell you, people. I watched every second of that game, and it's amazing. It's amazing how exciting it is. It's amazing how great she is. It's amazing that you could talk about her and hype her up, and then she exceeds expectations. And you're like, this is even better than I thought she'd be tonight in this setting. And that's, you know, and maybe she doesn't win a national championship. There's so much more. It's so hard for just one player, you know, to lift a whole team and win a national championship. You have to have other talented players around you. And so I hate the fact that, if, you know, if she doesn't win at all, she'll get criticized for that. I mean, she's gone to back-to-back Final Fours now. That's incredible. But to have that kind of pressure and to know, like, what that means to her sport and being put on that type of stage and everyone pointing to that, well, this is the game. When the brackets came out, Iowa, LSU, in the Elite Eight. That's what everyone's going to be watching, right? And then she goes out and does that. When a player in that situation, with that type of pressure, with that type of hype, can go out there and perform at a level that exceeds the unrealistic expectations, that's greatness. You know? And I'll say it. I don't care. I'm not saying what she's a Chiefs fan, and so she deserves the comparison. She deserves the love. That's Mahomes kind of stuff. When he goes out there and he does things that you didn't even think he was capable of. Like, why? You know, we knew he was great. We knew he's awesome. But then he went out and did this, and when he went out and did that, oh, he's even better than we're describing. We can't go overboard in our praise. And so, like, I'm telling you, I can't go overboard in praise for Caitlin Clark. Can't do it. Can't do it. Maybe I am right now, but I don't care.
No.
I'm caught up in the moment. I was caught up in the moment watching that game. It just, you know.
Can't do it.
Phil's watching this. He goes, I can't believe it. I said, and then, you know, I like to pass it. Dude, there's no way in God's green earth you could guard her. You know that. And he just looked down and he goes, I know. I know it. I said, just look at that. Look what she's going to. You see it. Oh, she's going to pull up. She's going to take it. Oh, she made it. There was a couple like, oh, my God. She took one from the logo. She makes his. I'll rip this TV apart. It was incredible. So had so much fun watching that.
She might be as good of a passer as she is a shooter. Which sounds like it's just a ridiculous statement because she's an unbelievable shooter. But, man, she's a phenomenal passer. Phenomenal. And as you said, dude, the pace of that game in the first half, and a lot of it's because as soon as they get the ball, her teammates fly down the court because they know they're going to get the ball. She's going to throw it to them.
And that's why I first started talking about Angel Reese, because you have to have a worthy competitor to have that kind of game.
Yeah.
Where at halftime you're thinking, damn, 45-45. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Angel Reese was incredible. And I'm telling you, she wasn't the same after she hurt her ankle.
Right.
But then you
that was the biggest moment.
And she still had 17 and 20. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was you got to have a dance partner, man. You know, it's one thing to do this in a blowout or a 20-point win, but when you've got a team that feels like you're equal to beat you last year and they're hanging with you, that's what makes it special. Because, like, at halftime, you're thinking, man, I don't know who's going to win this game.
Yeah.
But Iowa came out and put it to them in the third quarter, and that was it.
It was like Bird and Magic, you know? If it was just Bird or just Magic, wouldn't have been the same. That was too bad that she rolled her ankle like that, because you could tell, like you said, she didn't look the same after that. But, man, either way, Caitlin Clark, she is not overhyped. She's not. She deserves every bit of the hype that she gets, every bit of it. And I do think, like, you know, I was kind of happy to see Mulkey have to watch her beat her team, because, you know, she'd taken a couple little jabs here and there at Clark through the course of the year, and I just think that's ridiculous, you know. There've been coaches implying that she's like a ball hog. You know, she shoots too much and stuff right. like that. It's like she gets like 15 assists a game.
Come to my team and shoot too much, please. Is what they're saying.
right.
Will you?
Right.
And by the way, the hype train doesn't end because now in the Final Four, because of UConn's victory over USC, which featured greatness also, Juju Watkins, the best freshman in the country, dropped 29 points and 10 rebounds against Paige Beckers, who is phenomenal. Paige Beckers had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And so now what do we get in the Final Four? Iowa against UConn. Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers. And the GOAT, no question, the GOAT college basketball coach, Gino Auriemma, with some time on his hands to devise some type of game plan, unlike Kim Mulkey, to stop Caitlin Clark. Can he do it? I don't know. But if there's ever a guy that could do it, that's another little facet that makes that matchup fascinating, right? So... There's another one. Is that gonna be Friday night? Is that Friday? Am I stupid?
Let's see here.
I want it to be. Can it be, please?
What's April 5th?
Friday.
There we go.
Yeah,
it's the late game too.
You're the late game.
8:30.
Yeah, North Carolina State and South Carolina's at 6, and then after 8 o'clock, UConn Iowa Friday night. Now we're talking. That's what I needed. That's the time slot I needed. Dude, that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be off the charts. All right. Well, Jake hasn't said anything. I think he agrees with it. I think he liked it. I think he watched it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can never tell you through your beard. It hides your emotions.
Very rarely, you'd mention it. Very rarely do we hype something up. It's usually a letdown. That was not a letdown. And, you know, we're witnessing greatness. I don't think we understand. Well, I mean... We might, but when we get farther away from this, it's going to be like we just watched the best ever.
Yeah. Remember watching her? Remember right. that game? Remember dropping 41 in the Elite Eight? Yeah, all of it. And that was and look, and she can still win a national championship. We'll see. But that's we get Iowa and UConn, and we get that matchup with all the storylines. And apparently there's different stories out there about all these college coaches that would come to her high school or come to watch her, and her dream school is UConn, and Gino never went to watch her. I don't think he's Whoops. Thinking about that right now. Well, he's done all right, you know, but I'm still
yep.
you don't think
even he makes mistakes.
You don't think she's thinking about that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay. Right. Jake liked that one. Jake likes those little storylines. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake Atera says vote yes on the Border Patrol. Vote no on the commercials. We're going to broadcast commercial-free until 10 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, Jake.
A lot of talking from you two.
I can do it. I know Nate can do it.
Huh? Oh, can I?
Yeah, that's
what about when I have to go to the bathroom?
Nope.
Are we supposed to talk about what we did yesterday? By the way, I'm not going to bring it up.
Oh, you got her now.
I'll make Nate mad.
What did I do?
No, you didn't do nothing.
What didn't you do?
What's the Jason Sudeikis... Iowa connection? Although he's a Kansas fan.
Yeah, he is.
All right, I'm just curious.
Maybe he just wants to support, you know, the greatest women's basketball player he's ever seen. I don't know.
You don't get snippy. I'm just asking a question.
I wasn't getting snippy. I was giving you a potential answer.
So people got mad, like, hey, why weren't you at the Kansas women's game? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking, I don't know, man. You know about him. I thought he's a Kansas guy. I mean, he's an Iowa guy, too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't care who. Yeah, people can root for whoever.
Yeah, he didn't go to either school, I don't believe.
I'll ask Nate the question.
He could cheer for whoever he wants.
You know?
I don't have any issues with it.
Well, good.
I don't see why anybody would.
No, people get mad when there's, you know, someone appears to be a bandwagon jumper.
I mean, we're all kind of rooting for Caitlin Clark, aren't we?
I'm rooting for UConn Friday, buddy.
Oh, yeah, because you got Paige Beckers.
I'm Paige Beckers guy.
What about up until this point,
you know,
though?
I'm not. I'm rooting for, I would like to see Iowa win a national championship because UConn's had too many.
I'd like to see Caitlin Clark win one because I think she deserves one.
Yeah. Well, they all deserve it.
Man, if she does pull
Paige
that
Beckers
off,
deserves it.
Like, what a road. Like, my God. Like, to beat the team that knocked you out in the national championship and then go beat UConn, which is probably the greatest program in history, and then to knock off South Carolina. Well, assuming South Carolina beats NC State, which I am kind of, man, that would be one of the greatest runs I would imagine.
Yeah, ever. I would like to see Iowa win. But I like, through my daughter, I like Paige Beckers a lot.
Yeah, I like all of them.
It doesn't sound like you like Paige Beckers very much in respect to her battle back from 20 ACL last.
That's great. I just think that Caitlin Clark's the best player.
There's a hot take for you.
So, yeah, I think she deserves it the most.
All I asked is what was the connection with
Sudeikis.
What's
he wearing? Is he wearing some Iowa stuff?
Everyone watches women's sports. But he's gone to a couple of Iowa games. This isn't the first one. He's been seen at Iowa games rooting for Iowa. I thought I was going to ask you, and you said, oh, it's because this or is that. I got no problem with him. You see how defensive? All I asked was, what's his connection?
Like,
he can root for whoever he wants to. All I said was, do you know a connection? What's the connection there? I thought maybe you say, oh, Caitlin Clark's his cousin or something. I mean, I don't know.
I've seen videos of Sudeikis doing the you can't see me thing.
Yeah, people didn't like that.
Oh.
When he was doing that when, I guess, Angel Reese was fouled out.
That's kind of funny. Or pointing to the ring. Well.
Did you like that?
I don't. Whatever. Yeah. What was it that Steph Curry said? If you're going to shimmy on other people, you got to be okay getting shimmied on. You know. That's all. It seemed like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark both have a mutual respect for each other. The things they said about each other leading up to that game, which I was happy to see. They're competitors.
I bet they don't in real life.
Well, you don't have to like somebody just to respect them. You know.
I don't know. I think they say all the right things. I don't know if...
Maybe not. They should respect each other as players because they're both tremendous.
They were both fantastic.
And they're competitors. They're fiery. I like that. I like their little attitude.
What did you think of that? Did you listen to that clip of Angel Reese that I sent you? Would you like to play that? I thought that was interesting. You said something there. What if you're going to do this, you better take it?
I remember, you know, Steph Curry, when he hits the three, he would shimmy. And I can't remember which playoff, you know, NBA final it was in, but somebody hit a three and did the same thing, and people asked if that was disrespectful, and he said, hey, if I'm going to shimmy on other people, I got to be okay getting shimmied on.
Because, I mean, social media did get ugly after the national championship game between Iowa and LSU last year.
Yeah.
And there were some elements of social media that were ugly leading up to this game.
Yep.
And then after the game.
Yep.
And so I thought this was somewhat worthwhile because this was Angel Reese after the game in the press conference. And it says, you're answering Erica Ayala's question after listening to her teammates stand up for her during the post-game press conference. Here's an emotional Angel Reese.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore, and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, you know, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
I like what she said there at the end, because let's just be honest. She talks a lot of trash on the court, but so does Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
And I'm here for both of it because they both back it up, and they're both tremendous players. But we've all seen awful things on social media said about Caitlin Clark, and guess what? Said about Angel Reese, horrible things we can't even repeat on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes forget. 21 years old, dealing with all that pressure. Caitlin Clark, dealing with all that pressure. At the end of the day, they're people, you know? I don't know, that just...
Yeah.
I thought that was... Especially at the end, that was well said. As a message to young girls out there. Because let me tell you, as the father of twin daughters that have now entered the world of high school and playing high school sports, girls can be brutal to each other. And it's tough. It's tough keeping your confidence and believing in yourself. It seems like there's so many things battling and fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciated those words that she said.
And that's one of the ugliest sides of social media, too. The more people accomplish, the more people line up to try to tear them down and make them feel horrible.
Let's look at how many people try to tear down Jake after all he's
can't
accomplished.
Can't do it, though.
No.
Can't do it.
Being confident.
He's a mountain.
Keep moving forward.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. I started researching some things in anticipation of this Iowa-UConn game on Friday night. And I remember, how long ago was it when we had Gino Auriemma on the show? How long has it been? A long time, huh?
Yeah, 10-plus years.
And we had him on for a long time, and he was fantastic.
Oh, he was great.
He was one of the favorite interviews I've ever had on the show.
We had him on probably over 30 minutes long.
And so I just looked up. I checked out his wiki. So here's the deal. Listen to this. He's been at UConn since 1985, right? How many championships has he won?
I believe I know the answer to this. Do you want me to guess or do you want me to hold back?
Let's see what Jake says.
7.
I think it's 11.
11
wow.
National champions. 11 national championships.
Pretty good.
How many Final Fours?
Jeez.
Probably double that.
18?
20.
23. 23.
I only won half the ones he went to.
How many conference championships?
Oh God.
All of them?
Yeah.
No. 28 regular season, 27 tournament. Coach of the year 9 times, which should be more, I'm sure. But here's something else that struck me about his record. I would not have guessed this one correctly. So we'll see if you do. Make sure I got it right. How many undefeated seasons has he had? Undefeated, obviously, national championship seasons.
7.
Undefeated seasons?
I'm going to say 4.
You would have thought it was that many, really? I mean, I feel like that's
with
a special
else,
big deal.
With everything else you just threw out there, it didn't seem so crazy.
Jake, what do you say?
11 championships. I bet 3 of them were undefeated.
I mean, it seems underwhelming now because Obluma's guess, but six. He's at six undefeated national championship seasons. He's had runs where he.
Yeah, how many straight wins?
He won three championships in a row from 01 to 04. He won back to back in from 2008 to 2010. And he won four in a row from 2012 to 2016. The 2008, 2009, 2010 back to back. Do you know what his record was in those two seasons? 78-0. He had back-to-back undefeated seasons.
I guess that's my next question, is what's his longest? I mean, obviously 78, more than 78 straight wins at any point. 80-something.
What years was that?
His back-to-back undefeated?
Yeah.
2008, 2009, 2010.
You know, I think it's great that the women's game has also maybe this, I'll eat my words on this, but I don't see that happening going forward in the women's game like it used to. There's so much more talent spread out across the country now. It's great to see the level rise up all around, because there was a lot of conversation back then. Is this good for women's basketball that there's like one team that's so dominant? And sometimes that's good for sports, like when Tiger Woods is out there dominating, people want to watch it.
Well, and Tennessee was really good at that same.
They had a great rivalry.
Yeah, there was a good rivalry there.
Yeah.
But how many times has there been an undefeated national championship season in college men's basketball? You know, I mean, like
Indiana, that I can remember.
Right. His record. As a head coach, 1,213 wins, 161 losses. It's an 883 win percentage. His conference record as a coach, 590 and 64, 902 win percentage. So,
man,
I don't know. I marvel at those stats.
When's their last national championship? When did they last win the national championship?
See, it's been a minute.
Since 18? 15-16.
And he's still a great coach, obviously, but the level around him has risen
right.
to meet the standard that his team set, which I think is great.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.